was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be handed over to men and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise. But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, what were you arguing about on the way? But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, and called the 12, and said to them, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all, and the servant of all. Taking the child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, whoever received one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives me. But the one who sent me. My brothers and sisters, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. About 25 years ago, there was a man named Scott Peck. Maybe some of you remember his name. He wrote a book called The Road Less Traveled. And for the longest time, it was on the bestseller list, breaking all records. And it surprised people that the book sold so well, because the first line of the book was this: life is hard. And he called that the road less traveled. That most people think it shouldn't be that way. There's basically two paths you can go on, and those two paths are named in this gospel today. Jesus names the path of difficulty. If you go on that path, you start, you see this much more commonly in poor countries among poor people. I remember when I taught in India several times, it almost seemed like the children even cried less than our children do, almost as if they recognized life is going to be hard. It's not all going to be comfortable and easy. Now, the irony is, when you start that way, recognizing it isn't supposed to be perfect. It isn't supposed to all go my way. It isn't all supposed to be comfortable. That's what teaches you. When you start that way, here's the irony. You actually, and often, not always, tend to smile much more readily. Because whenever something good does happen, you're just so excited and so grateful and so happy. Now, when you start the other way, which is the way most of us do in comfortable countries like this, where we expect it to all be comfortable, perfect, on time, easy, more money, the irony is you smile much less. Because it's never that way. Every hour is another disappointment. It isn't perfect. It isn't working for me. I'm not getting richer. I'm not comfortable this moment. Damn it, how can I change it? So Jesus, when he calls himself, as he does in today's gospel, the human one, which I think is the correct translation. I don't know why we insist on calling it the Son of Man. He's calling himself the universal human. I'm the stand-in for everybody. What I say about myself, I'm saying about reality. This is the way reality works. The human one will suffer. Now, the response of the disciples, in this case, an almost embarrassing response, is the typical response of human beings. And if it sounds like the Republican debate Wednesday night, it exactly is. Huh? It's the disciples arguing about who is the greatest. Huh? That's our response. We always want to be the greatest. Who's the greatest? I'm the greatest. I'm the biggest. I mean, nothing ever changes. It's the same world. Jesus is leading us on the way of the cross, where we recognize that most of the world is suffering. to an immense degree at this point. And we can live in union and compassion and solidarity and caring with that universal suffering, or we can look the other way and pretend other stupid things, like I'm the greatest. What a waste of time. What a waste of truth. What a waste of reality. And so he tells them, you know, children get it more easily than you do. The child in Hebrew culture was precisely the one without power. Oh, sure, kids want to have their own way just like we do. But they're not yet normally playing the game of righteousness, superiority, and power. We learn that with age. We want to be in control. We want to be in charge. We want to be rich. We want to be famous. And the sad thing is that in country after country, not just ours, these are the people who become our leaders. And they model that kind of stupidity all the way down, while very often going to church on Sunday, hearing this gospel where Jesus says the human one must associate with the pain of the world, not the success of himself. But they miss the point. This is actually a three-time story in Mark's gospel. We're today reading the second time. Where three times in a row, Jesus tells them the appropriate path is downward, not upward. Not into success and power, but into powerlessness and humility. Those are the wisdom people. But let's be honest, that's never going to make sense to most people. But I guess what we have to ask, what I have to ask too, is does it even make sense to me? Do I agree with that? Do I live that? Do I live in daily communion and solidarity with the overwhelming suffering on this earth right now? Or do I waste my time talking about nothing? Which is all I could think of after I heard the debate. Nothing. Complete ignoring of the real suffering of the world, of the suffering of the planet, of the huge income inequality on this earth. Thank God Pope Francis has entered our hemisphere yesterday. He's now in Cuba. And we have someone among us who in the next week, I think, will speak the truth. If you're wise, you'll get up Thursday morning and you'll turn on your TV early and see what he has to say to the American Congress. He's probably the only person in the world who can speak truth to power and get away with it. He doesn't have to be reelected. He doesn't have to be popular. And yet the irony is he's the most popular person in the world. Because somehow we know he's not running a popularity contest saying, I am the greatest. But again and again, he tries to be, as the gospel says, the servant of all, the most humble of all. In every city he's entering in Cuba and in America this week, he makes sure he goes to the homeless shelters, to the jails, to the prisons, to recognize these are very ones that Jesus says have the head start. The head start in understanding how reality really works. The life is first of all hard. And if you surrender to that, then everything that comes your way, you see as another opportunity to grow in virtue, to grow in grace, to grow in patience and humility, and most of all, love. Everything, everything is a lesson in how can I love better? How can this situation teach me how to love better? Brothers and sisters, that's the only meaning of your life. And that's the meaning and the message of the gospel.